I think this is where church started. Church started in the Garden of Eden. Looks like we're in the middle of the Garden of Eden, kind of, in Sorby Bridge. We thank God for the wonderful weekend that we had for men. Thank you for coming over. Many of our friends have gone back to their churches, but we enjoyed the presence of God. We enjoyed the Word of God. And I truly know and believe that God has transformed our lives, and we shall never be the same. Thank you, ladies, for sending over your husbands, for those who sent them. And I know you're going to receive them back, and they're going to be different. And I want to thank God for the Elim family, the Elim Church family, and everybody that has worked together to see that this event comes to success. Thank you, Niger. Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you, Pastor Johnny. Thank you, Philip. Thank you, Ian, and everybody, those who came far and nearer. May the Lord God bless you. It is our mandate to manage the earth. As God said, let them have dominion. Of course, both men and women. So it is our mandate to always renew this mandate, remind ourselves of our responsibility, leadership, and management of the earth, and definitely our families, because the enemy is looking for our families, he's looking for our children, he's looking to destroy God's plan. But we are not going to give him room. And we are going to have several conferences. I was talking to Jean, he and his wife, yesterday, and I said probably next year, when the Lord allows me to come, we shall also hold a women's conference. And in the men's conference, we may have some women come and speak to the men, because there is a lot that men don't know about women. So we want to hear the women version. What do they think of a man? How do they want us to behave? Not just to satisfy their carnal feelings and stuff, but according to God's way. How have we mismanaged families and mismanaged our wives and children? We want to hear from them. And as we also conduct women's conferences, then we will speak as men. We will teach them about men, how men think, how we process our issues, how we need them to the way they should handle us as men. So I think that would be brilliant. You think that would be okay? Yeah, I think we need it. I think we need some people can't wait to see that. I'm one of those. Yeah, I would like to see that happening next year. And we don't have to wait until we come back. You can do these things. Then when we come, we just, you know, keep moving. So we thank God for that. Thank you very much. Father God, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the wonderful time you've given us over this weekend. And we are here now in your presence, in the middle of this woods, praising your name. Somebody said he has been camping for many years. He has never seen church on a camping site. What a blessing. I saw the blood of Jesus being poured out here. And I know many campers have gone home. They may not have confessed your name, but I know they've gone with something. And bless every camper that has been here. Let them share the presence of God. Let them share the blood of Jesus that was poured here yesterday. Thank you. And as we hear your word today, Father, I pray that it will transform our lives and we will be changed for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I bring greetings once again from Uganda. My name is David Katende. I'm a pastor in Uganda, in a life-changing church. They send their greetings to you. I come from a family of one wife and three children, Rebecca, Moses, and Jochebed. Jochebed, that name is not familiar to people, but Jochebed is the mother of Moses. So we have Moses and Jochebed. So we have the mother and the son, and we're a happy family. Together with me came the man of God, Pastor George Kasirye. He's the man that led me to Christ. So amazing that he's here with us and is listening to his son preach. It's a blessing to him, I know. And do you want to come and say hi quickly? Yeah.
It's a pleasure for me to be here, and I thank God that I can minister with my son. It's my joy that we are learning together to become men. Thank you, ladies, for supporting us and loving us. Without you, it would be nothing. I'm looking forward to coming back here next year, probably in a bigger way. I support the idea of inviting women to speak to men. We've done this in Uganda and it works very well. The voice of a woman to men. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the women of noble character. I call them the trunks. The woman of noble character. So we expect to see that next year, women of noble character. Can abbreviate it as trunks. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to have our text today, our reading today from Luke chapter 15, from a very popular story that everybody knows. If you don't know this story, you are blessed to hear it today. It's a very popular story. I like reading and preaching from popular stories. They are really difficult Bible stories. If you have come across them, then I saw a beast coming out of the sea with seven heads. I don't want to preach from that. I don't want to be in trouble. I want to preach from simple texts, really. So Luke 15, if you don't know how to find Luke 15, after the service come, I will lay my hands on you so you can easily find these books. Verse 11. Very popular story. I'll read through quickly. It says, "And he said," this is Jesus, "there was a man who had two sons, and the young of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Now, many days later, the young son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living, riotous living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself," I read that again, "when he came to himself," so that means people can go out of themselves. So when he came back to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' and they began to sell bread. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called out of the one of the servants and asked what these things meant, and said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry, oh my God, and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you. I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and now is found." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That was a long reading. I want to talk about this very simple story that we all know. I want to be near you. It's a very simple story that everybody knows about. So I want to share a few things, and I know by the time we finish, God would have spoken to us. Here is a story. There's a rich man here. He has two sons. His family looked like English family, just two sons. My mom gave birth to 11 children. I'm the 11th one. So there's no way. I think this was an English man. Now, we're very poor and we have big families. You're rich and you have very little families. But God is good. Thank God for my mom. If she was a lazy mother, you wouldn't see me. But because she was hardworking, she carried all these 11 children in her womb. And I came last. What a blessing. I thank God for that. If she was English, I wouldn't be here. I want to look at this young, I'm going to talk about these two sons anyway, and I'll talk about the father very quickly, and I believe the Holy Spirit speaks to us in several things. So this young son, I don't know what was going on. My text today, my subject today, or my theme, is what is going on in your mind? What is going on in your house? What is going on in your house? What is going on in your mind? We need to know what is going on in your mind. What is going on in your house? Very important. As a young man, he had thoughts. He had ambitions in his life. He had vision, probably. Something was running through his mind. He was looking at his father, and it's like he was thinking a lot of things. He had a lot of thoughts in his heart and in his mind. He was thinking and he was planning things. But one of the he had limitations anyway for his plans, because he was planning upon his father's property, and he knew that he had an inheritance on his father's property. But the law, the cultural law, the natural law, you cannot have your inheritance until your father dies. So I think this young man, something is going on into his mind, and he's saying, "Why are you not dying? Father, why are you not dying? I want my property. I want my portion." And he's saying, "Father, why are you not dying? You're taking too long." One of my pastors went to America and prayed for this old man who was really rich and who was dying on his bed. And my pastor prayed for him and he recovered. And the children were very angry at him. "Why did you pray for his recovery?" So what is going on in your mind? You can be with people and you don't know what's going on in their mind. It's very important. There was a man who was also deaf. He was really deaf. He couldn't hear anything. But he went to the doctor, and the doctor, you know, worked on his ears, and the ears, you know, got fixed, and so he could hear again. So when he came home, he didn't say anything that the doctor had fixed his ears. So he just sat there. The next day he found the doctor. He told the doctor, the doctor asked him and said, how are you feeling now? Are you okay? Are you getting along with your life? And he said, yeah. But there's only one thing that has happened to me. And the doctor said, what is that? I have changed my will 10 times. You know what I mean? Because he was listening to what people were saying because they thought he was not hearing. So what is going on in your mind? What is going on in your house? So this young man was impatient. He became so impatient that he had to tell what was going on in his mind. I said, okay, Father, you're not dying, and I have nothing to do with that. Give me my property. Give me my portion. Give me my inheritance. I have things to do. I cannot wait for your death. You are taking too long to die. Give me my inheritance. You can see his mind upon his father. Give me my property. Give me my portion. I want to do something different. I want to move out of this house. I want to go and start my own life. Now, the word young means inexperience. It means if somebody is young, you know that they don't have an experience. If somebody is young, it means they know little about the world. They know little when you are young. You see, when you are young, you feel you know everything. But the point is, you know nothing. So it means you lack experience. It means trouble. When you're young, I always tell my people, Uganda has 70% of our population, 70% almost are below 30. I think here is a little, I think it's the opposite here. You don't have many young people like we have in Uganda. Because people here, you know, can last longer. Your life expectancy is higher than our country. And because you've had wars, and people, if they are in wars, they tend to indulge and do things. So because they are doing nothing. So our population is really young. I always tell my church, so I have a lot of young people in my church. And I always tell people, if you have young people, you have trouble. You're having trouble. If you're not careful, if you don't know how to handle them, they are trouble, really. So this young man without any experience is asking for his portion, for his inheritance. And this is where we are right now. We have a lot of young people that want to have their inheritance. They want to do everything they want, you know, that is besides them, without any experience. Young girls want to become mothers without experience, without growing up to maturity. We have young boys who want to be fathers when they are really immature to be fathers. We have people that are dealing with strong, you know, drugs. They don't know how to handle those things, and they are too young. They are so exposed to these things, yet they are still too young. They think they can handle them, but the point is they can't. So the father was generous enough. I was studying the word prodigal, and the word prodigal means he who gives lavishly. I think in this story, it's not the son that is prodigal, it's the father who is prodigal. Because prodigal means he who gives lavishly. Anyway, the father gave his inheritance to this young man who has no experience, who doesn't know about money. He has not worked for it. He has not earned for it. So he got his portion, and not for many days, he ran away from his family. He went far off in a further country, and there he spent his property, his money, his inheritance. Because if you have not worked for anything, if you have not worked for anything, you will never value what you've got. If you've got anything and you've never earned it, you never value it. It's very important. You just waste it because you've never earned it. So the point here is, the process is very important before the blessing. It's very important for people to go through the process before they can get the blessing, before they get the promise. We need to go always through the process. This young man needed to earn. He needed to learn how to work. He needed to know how to spend money because he has earned it. But because he received the money without earning it, so the promise became a curse. The blessing became a curse in his life. The reason why we have families that are breaking up We are losing family. We are losing the men because people are young people, the male, the young boys are becoming men without going through the process. So being a man has turned into a curse. We have women today that have become mothers without going through that process. They have not been mentored. They've not been grown. They've not been, you know, trained. They've not been brought up to be mothers. And now they're mothers, and being a mother is becoming a curse to them. This is a big problem. That's why we called out to the men here who are the foundations of their families to be able to be available to grow our children, to mentor them. You heard what Pastor taught yesterday, how he behaves with his children, even the daughters. That's what we do. My children, my daughters, Rebecca is now 14 years. I told the men here, when we turn 13, 14, we go into our crazy time. It's crazy time. It's crazy moments. They don't know how to control their bodies. Their bodies are changing. And if you are not close to our families, if you are not close to them, if you don't grow them, then they'll become mothers at 14. Because it's what their bodies is telling them. So we need to be there to grow them, to mentor them, and warn them. Because it's like, give him my inheritance. Give him my inheritance. But he's young. The Bible said the young asked for his portion. We are living in a generation where young folks are asking for their portion. Amazingly, our governments, every government everywhere, are protecting them incidentally. We have lifted our rights above God's righteousness. We think our rights are so important than God's righteousness. Don't you ever lift your rights above God's righteousness. So this boy had a right to take his property, his portion, his blessing, but it turned into a curse because he had not gone through the process. Let me tell you something. The process is more important than the blessing. Very important. We have to take our children through the process. And we have people here that have become, we've gone to positions. Maybe you're already fathers, but you never went through the process. That's why we have to call you back into this men's conference and train you to take you back into that process. We are losing our family. We have unnecessary divorces. We have unnecessary separations, and we fall out all the time simply because we never went through that process. Please come back. When you hear again that we have men's conference or women's conference, come back and let us take you through that process. It's never too late. So that you know how to handle your family, you know how to handle business. Some people have bad financial habits. Once they get the money, they want to spend it all. You see, I've seen people buying things with the money they don't have and buy things they don't need to impress people they hate. Did you hear that? I'll say it again. People buy things they don't need, they do not need with the money they don't have. That means they go into the bank, they get the credit cards, and they buy things that they don't really need to impress their enemies. I want everybody to see that I'm driving a big car and you're in a big debt. You want to impress your your friends or your enemies. Yes, I've made it. Have a bigger car than him. That's no good. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Oh, yes. So this son spent his life like that. But while these things were happening, he was growing up. And he was facing life. And of course, he spent everything that he had in righteous living. Remember, he had run away from God, from his father, who would have corrected him in his bad behavior. He ran away. This is what our children are doing. They want to run away from us because you correct them. I've had several times my wife telling our children that I'm going to be a bad mother to you. Because every good mother is a bad mother anyway. Because she's giving a lot of don'ts. Don't do this. We always tell our children. We give them a lot of don'ts because we know the danger. If we give them all the freedom, then they will lose it. Because you must remember that there is no freedom without limitations. Did you hear that? There's no freedom without what? Limitations. That's what God said to Adam and Eve. Don't you ever eat of that tree. He gave them limitations. But they said, no, we don't want limits. You see, human nature doesn't want limitations. So they crossed the limitation. They crossed the borderline. And they touched and ate the fruit. And they lost all their freedom. So there's no freedom without limitations. We have to limit our children. Yes, the government, our governments are giving them a lot of freedom, but not my children, because I know what is best for them. I don't think my government knows better my children than I. I know the law says the children belong to the government, but my children belong to me and they belong to God. Sometimes our governments can be lousy and can pass laws and begin to think, who are these people in the house passing these laws to our children? We need to protect our children. We need to teach them the ways of God, the right ways to go. So my children have got limitations and they are enjoying their freedom. I know they may not like it now, but they like me in the future. Anyway, he was growing up and he has lost everything in riotous living, and he resorted to one of the men in the country and was tending and was feeding pigs. While he was there, he came back to himself. What does that mean? You can go out of yourself. Have you ever gone out of yourself and you did things that you were also intimidated of yourself? It's like you were there and you were intimidated of yourself. You're looking at yourself there and you're afraid of yourself. And you say, was that me? So this young man was there all the time feeding the pigs, but it wasn't him. His good spirit had gone out of him. But while he was meditating and thinking, that's why we need this time to come back and sit down and think. You see, some people never stop to think and others never think to stop. So sometimes we need to stop and think. So he came back to himself. My advice today, my appeal to you today, and to me as well, if you have gone out of your life and you are doing things that you are even afraid of yourself, please come back to yourself. And when he came back to himself, he had a right concept and a good idea and said, I'll go back to my father and I'll tell him that I've sinned against you. You see now, when he was living, he did not realize he was sinning. Now he knows that when he left, he was sinning. Very important. So he went back and he arose. That's why we must take a step. If you are going to change our generation, if you are going to set a new standard, we must move. We must be on move. We must move from where we are and we go back to the Father. Thank God for the loving Father. Jesus loves us so much. However much we have sinned, however much we have failed to reach the mark, however much we have offended him, sinned against him, he has open hands. I think that's why he was crucified, hands open, so that he can receive the sinful world. So that he could receive you and I into his hands. He's opening up his hands right now. Would you come back to him? Come back to him and say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I need to be in the house. You see, when you are in the house, you don't have to feed the pigs. Working with the pigs, what does that mean? That's the world system. The world system will give you jobs like feed the pigs. But when you are in the Father's house, we are not feeding the pigs. We are enjoying his presence, his blessings. And whatever is his is ours. You see, when you ask for your portion, that is all you have. When you stay in your Father's house, all what is your Father's is yours. That's why I never want to go away from the Lord. Because what is his is mine. But when I go away, yes, he has given my inheritance. He has given me words to speak. He has given me a gift maybe to sing. If I just go with that, that's all I have. So when I am in his house. I enjoy his presence. I enjoy his wealth. I enjoy his goodness. I enjoy his protection. I enjoy everything. You see, when the son returned, the first thing the father said, give him the ring. What does that mean? The ring, I was studying this, the ring of that time was the debit card. The son, if you belong to such a rich family, you could go anywhere. If you wanted maybe to buy burger, for instance, you just stamp your ring there, and then they will charge your father. That's how it worked. So that's why the father said, give him the ring so that he can use my debit card. Hallelujah. Never go out of the presence of the Lord. He has everything that we need. Families, let us keep our families in the presence of God. Let us leave our jobs in the presence of God. Don't ever move away from the Lord. Very powerful. He's welcoming us. Come back to me. Come home. Come back to me, my children. He wants us to be there. Sit back and enjoy his presence. I love this song that says, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your presence, it overwhelms me. I just want to be there. Always overwhelmed by his love, by his grace. Come back to him. Now you may say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm always in church. You can be in church and away from him. I've been in church for 28 years. And I know the times I've been in church, yet I am away. Have you ever been in church and you know you are away from the Lord? So it doesn't mean you've come here, you go to your church daily or Sunday service, and you think you are with the Lord. Check your relationship with the Father. Big story. But I want to cross over now. The son has come back. The father threw a party. All the fattened calves were killed, and people started to marry. There were celebrations. Because when we go away from the Father, we are dead. He says, my son was dead, now he's alive. When you are away from the Father, you are dead. When you are in his house, that's the only way you can be alive. We are only alive in the presence of God. Always keep in the presence of God. Now, everybody started to marry. They started to eat. He was given a royal robe, and the ring is back. Now he can buy anything he wants. Now, I want to talk about the older son. Then I'll finish. So the older son was somewhere in the field, working really hard. He was working really hard. Because now the work that used to be for these two sons, he's doing it alone. He's doing double because he's the only son now. He's very busy and he's working, supporting his father and doing all these things. Listen to the older son. I want to talk about the older son because we have prodigal sons or the lost sons and daughters, of course, here. And we may also have the older sons or daughters in here. When I say in here, I mean the church of God. We have these two sons always. But remember my theme. What is going on in your mind? You need to check what is going on in your mind. Now, let me finish with this older son. So the older son was at home all the time. And he was, these things I'm going to mention. Number one, he was available. If you're writing, this older son was available. Praise God. Number two, he was faithful to his father. Number three, he was hardworking. Number four, he was dependable. You may not write at the same speed I'm speaking, but the videos are going to be available, I think. By the way, all weekend videos and CDs are going to be available. I think you should contact Malcolm. Is that all right? Yeah, you can contact Malcolm and keep these things. So he was hardworking. Listen to the older son. He was dependable because he was always at home and available. He was responsible, praise God. He was well-doing, and he was consistent, and he kept up the appearance. He was a wonderful son. Everybody that saw him was wonderful. He was available. He was hardworking. He was faithful. He was available. He was responsible. He was well-doing, and he was consistent in whatever he was doing. Now, these are two people in the body of Christ. But let me tell you something. He had an invisible part. He had an invisible part. How many know that you may have an invisible part that people cannot see? We all have that invisible part. I've had people, you know, coming up and giving testimonies what the Lord has done in their lives, the testimonies, the trials they've gone through. But let me tell you something. There are things they never share here. It's not good for human consumption. They keep it to themselves. It's really bad stuff. So there is always that invisible part of people. And Christians are good at that sometimes. We sometimes have invisible parts. I want to talk about that, then I wind up. So when this son had the merriment that was going on, the excitement and all the celebration, he came home and asked, "What is going on? I'm not used to that. That is not familiar with my father. What's happening in the house? What has happened?" And he called one of the servants and said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Your brother is back. Your brother is back. We're celebrating. You better get ready." "What? He's back? Oh my God. He's back? What has he come to do? What is the invisible? What is going on in your house? Even though you are hardworking, you are available, you are responsible, you are reliable, you are available in your father's house, you seem to be faithful, you seem to be full of the Spirit of God. What is going on in your mind?" One of the things we discover in this son that seems to be so good, that he carries anger in his mind, in his life. He's not so righteous as you may think. If he was righteous and good brother and good son, he would join his father's joy of receiving his brother back. But now he's angry. It is easier to be in church, praising God, at the same time be angry. That can be that invisible part of us. Okay? So this young man was like that. And he was very angry amidst all these things. We always put on the outer appearance, and we may look available and committed, but at the same time miserable and hurting inside. And we are struggling. I've seen these people in church. Very important to know. I want you to release that part that is invisible, and yet you are struggling. You are struggling. It's invisible part. You have not opened up to us. You are available. You are committed. You are serving God, but at the same time, you are hurting. I remember when our church went through terrible times, when we had to move from one building that we thought was ours, and we are kicked out of the building for some reasons. I'm not going to share now, but some of you know. We had no place to go to. And we had this tent set up somewhere. The wind blew it. And we had no sanctuary. We put another. It was also blown by the wind. And you know, church people, church members, they will still come to me for prayers and for encouragement. So all the time I was struggling inside of me. But these people used to come to me for encouragement. They have problems in their houses. And I used to smile. But the truth is, I was struggling and dying from the inside because of what was happening. But people thought because I had to preach powerful messages. Yes, the Lord is with us. You see, when we go through the fire, it's going to be with us. When we go through this. But the point is, I was preaching these powerful messages and members thought pastor is okay. But the point is, I was dying from the inside up, from the inside. And nobody knew. You can be a pastor. Pastor Johnny, you know this. Because everybody's depending on you. You know, for prayers, he's the pastor. He knows how to pray. He knows how to fast. They know how to speak to the Lord. But the point is, you are suffering inside. You are the good son that stayed home. But this boy is complaining. But Father, you've never killed even a young goat. You've never given me this. That means all the time he was complaining within his heart, even though he was hardworking and available and consistent and well-doing. You can hear from his words that he was also complaining within him. Do you have any complaint out of your commitment? You have been committed to the Lord in church, maybe to your family, but they never appreciate. It's time to open up that invisible part of you and give it to the Lord. So there are things he was really complaining within him. He said, I could not even rejoice with my friends. Maybe he was sharing with other friends, but he never talked to the Father about what was, you know, happening in his life. He was complaining. He was struggling. He was frustrated. He was angry. And he also needed to be appreciated. Let me tell you, church, we need to appreciate people that do good things. Because sometimes you have been so good that people now take you for granted and they think that's the way you are. Please, you have to appreciate people. Sometimes I look at Malcolm. Malcolm is such a committed man. I'll just give him an example. He's my friend. You know, he does all the things. If you all of you go and leave these tents here, Malcolm will remove these things alone and he will not complain. But even good people like him, they need to be appreciated. At one time, buy him a young goat. Let him do barbecue. Say, Malcolm, thank you very much for doing this. I know he doesn't need that. I know he's really serving God. But even good people need to be appreciated. Never take people for granted. Our congregation take us for granted because we are pastors, because they think we know how to pray, and they never appreciate sometimes. Even good people need to be appreciated. The son is saying, Father, I have been here. I've been committed all this time. But look, you've never given me anything. That is the invisible part of him. Husbands, appreciate your wife. Don't take your wife for granted. Hallelujah, women. Are you here? Husbands, appreciate your wives. Bring them gifts. Talk to them. Appreciate them. You know, praise them. But let me tell you, women, wives are wives. Please, please appreciate us. We know we have been really bad husbands. But please, there has been really areas where we have been really good. Please remember those times and appreciate us. Tell us how good you have been. If you do anything good, because even good people need to be appreciated. From lead church leaders to families, appreciate your children. Give them a hug and say, thank you, well done, my son. We are hearing from men here who never had such words from their fathers. Please, if you have grandchildren, if you have your children, even though they are 17 and 25, hug them and say, son, when I look at you, I thank God. Come here, give me a hug. Give them some money and, you know, I know they've done bad things against you maybe, but be like this father. When the son returned, he said, now let us throw a party. Get the ring back. Enjoy the company of your children. Appreciate each other because even good people can be hurting and you may not know. This son, the older son, was hurting, but it was invisible. So that was going on in his mind. It was going on in his house. And nobody was even aware. And the father said, oh, son, I didn't know that. Because all I have is yours. Why do you keep complaining away from me? Come and tell me. All I have, all these cows are yours. You can have party every day. But he was there complaining within him. So it's very important. Instead of complaining to the Lord, tell the Lord, Father, I also need a break. I need a blessing from you, Lord. I need some rest, oh God. I need some party. Very important. To the fathers, it's really difficult because the children will go to the mom and the mommies will always come to the dad. But where do we go as fathers? And the pressure was building within this young man, this older son now. And his problem became so invisible because he was so dependable. Some people, sometimes they, you know, we suffer so long invisibly because we have been so dependable, and people begin to take us for granted. Even though we have titles, you are pastors, you may be on board of trustees, you can be an elder. Please appreciate these people. Take them out. Take them out for the meal and say, thank you for being our elder. Thank you for being Malcolm, you know. Just to be Malcolm, just take him out and say, Malcolm, we're buying you lunch now. Thank you for being a good man. I know he can afford 1,000 lunch for himself, but please give him one. And I think when you come to Uganda, I'll take you out and give you one. You know, just mention what you need and I pay for that, Malcolm, for being good, not only to you people, but also to our people back in Uganda. You see, I preach everlasting gospel. I can keep you here up to late evening. But I think I will stop here. But if there's any invisible part of you that is hurting, why don't you present it to God? If there's anything that you got so soon and you skipped the process, why don't you come back to God and say, Lord, teach me how to handle my family. Teach me how to handle this and that. Teach me, O Lord. That is the young son. The older son is hurting within himself. He's available, but he's complaining. The younger son doesn't know what to do. He wants to skip the process and get the promise. And there are many things that we have received that have turned into a curse because we avoided the process. If you are here and you are any of those two, we all need to come to the Father. You see, the Father embraces the returned son, but he's also welcoming back this man. Though he was in the house, he says, you can now have what I have. The Father is the healing Father. We all come to him and we receive healing. Why don't you give that part of you that is invisible, that we may not know, and say, Lord, I come back to you as my Father. Help me out of this in the name of Jesus. Let us bow our heads down and just think about two or three things that maybe have been going through your house, your mind, and maybe we may not know about it. Maybe you have been so good and people do not appreciate really, and you have been hurting within. This is the time to come to the Father and say, Lord, heal. You can see this Father healing the returned son, but he's also healing the son that stayed home. We all need the Father. Those who are outside the church and those who are inside the church. Those who are committed and those who are not committed. We need to go back to him and say, Lord, would you heal? Would you heal? Because we can only have peace when you're in the house of our Father. He says, where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And what is that joy? The joy of our Lord is our strength. We need to come home. And those who have been home, we need to hear these words from the Father, that whatever he has is ours. And that will bring healing to both of us. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the ministers here. Thank you for our wives. Thank you for our children. Thank you for the men. Thank you for the husbands. Thank you for everybody, Lord, in this church. Father, I pray that whoever has been hurting, Father, heal. Whoever has been complaining internally, you who knows how to dig deep into the chambers of our hearts, dig into those chambers of our hearts and bring healing. Provide with us everything that we need, because you said you supply our needs according to your riches and glory. There are people here who are financially beaten because they mishandled the finances, the first inheritance that they received from you, Lord. The blessings that we received from you were mismanaged because we had no experience how to handle money. We thought it was all to be spent, and we spent it not wisely. Father God, you who give second chances, O Lord, third chances. The world will give you second chance, but Father, you have 1 million chance again, another chance. Mm-hmm. Would you give back those chances to the returning sons? I know there's a person here, your finances are really, you were a businessman, but now you don't know what to do. You mismanage your businesses, you invested it badly, you spend it badly, but the Lord is giving you another chance. God is raising you again and is increasing your honor. There are families here that were really mishandled. You mishandled your spouse and you got problems really. But the Lord says, if you come back to me, I'll teach you how to go through that process and humble you to be able to come back as a relationship, as a family. Thank you, Jesus. I know sometimes when we are in your house, we have limitations, but that's how we can enjoy freedom, because there's no freedom without limitations. Bless this church. Bless the leadership of Elim Church. Bless everybody that has come today, O Lord. And let everybody be happy and be revived. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm going to invite Pastor Johnny to come and conclude. Thank you for the opportunity you've given us as Pastor George and I to come and share. We hope to see you again next time. We are in UK. God bless you. Be blessed and stay in the presence of God now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. I hope you've really enjoyed this weekend. And one thing I said to Nigel before it even started is do take notes of the good things and the things that we can do better. Because next year we want to do it, take it up a level, don't we? Amen. A few things. If you've not put your name on the list Nigel's got, it's under the table over here. It will put it up there. That's so we can at least try and keep in touch. There's some books on here. Please have a look through them. It just say give donations. Now, I know in Britain that means give 10 pence and take as much as you want. The valuable stuff, I've read, there's not that one there with goldfish from last year, which jumps out and jumps in. That's a really good, it's not there now. But have a look at them. If you do want to give, there's a bucket over near the water bucket over there. Don't put it in the water bucket, put it in the other. That'll just help because we've not charged. We want this to be a blessing to you. And talking about that, there's a cup of tea at the cafe bar down here. We've already got it for you. So if you want a cup of tea, cup of coffee, when it's finished, have a wander down there. Get yourself a cuppa. Just say Ian sent you. That'll be good. In all seriousness, if you've never experienced the Father heart of God and his love for you, then have a talk to David or to George, has he gone somewhere? Get these guys to pray with you and just experience the loving embrace of the Father heart. Because as guys, we don't often experience that, so we don't know how to bless other people with a Father's heart. So as much as it's over, don't let it be over. Continue through. So God bless you all. Amen.